Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all today. Is everyone staying healthy? It's that time of year, I guess. If you are here, we're glad that you're here, especially if you're a visitor. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. My name is John Paul, and I am a servant of Christ, and that means that I am also a servant of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, just like all of us are together. That's been kind of one of those themes in this book. We're reaching the point of the book where we're pretty much at the end. In fact, this is my very last lesson in Ephesians. Not forever, but at least for now. So I have to say that I've really enjoyed this book. I mean, yes, this is Paul, but this is very different from Paul in Galatians. You could tell Galatians was written that he was quite frustrated when he wrote the book. There are definitely moments in Galatians where Paul was like, you know, you did this, you shouldn't have did it, and now I have to tell you, and I'm not very happy about having to tell you, but that's still my responsibility to tell you. I feel like that with my kids almost every single day. But anyway, Ephesians kind of has like this different tone, like, hey, you know what, guys, for the most part, I think you're doing a good job. Here's some things that you can fix, but still strive to be better because you are Christians. And that's who we are as Christians, is we should always be striving to be better, right? Amen. All right, let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll look at the text. Dear Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for the letters that you've given us through your apostles, and that we may take them every single day and read them and apply them to our lives, because we know that it is for your benefit that we become better and better every day. Be with us in our worship. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. All right, so leading into the last lesson, I want to talk a little bit about what came into it the previous weeks. So last week I talked a lot about this idea of submission. And I really wasn't doing it as a contrast between how wives should submit to their husbands. I mean, that's what the text says, and that's true. But I wanted to focus on the larger part of how that is an example of how we should all submit to Christ and to one another, which I think is his overall point inside the text. And that we shouldn't really resist this idea of submission because we don't lose our freedoms. In fact, by submitting to Christ, we learn that we gain freedom because you're always under submission, but only one of those offers true freedom. And so also this kind of feeling that submission itself isn't really dominance. You don't get to, because someone you are submissive to someone, they don't really get to tell you every single thing you have to do. And it's also the same way with Christ, is while you submit to Christ, you do it out of love and reverence, and maybe, I guess there's a little bit of idea of fear of not wanting to go to hell, but the alternative is there, that Christ wants you to do this, he's not forcing you to do it. And that's kind of what this idea of submission is. And Paul uses this idea of submission to transition into our text today, which is the armor of God. So to kind of wrap up the whole book of Ephesians, Paul is hitting these three major points. Point one, we're all equal in God's eyes. Doesn't matter, and he uses this in the context of Jew or Gentile. That's not really something that we concern ourselves with today. But basically that everyone has the same opportunity, regardless of who they are, what color their skin is, what their sex is, to go to God. That they all have that equal stake of being a part in the body of Christ if they choose it. The second one I think is really, really important. And I'm going to teach you guys a phrase today you might not know. How many of you in this room know what a paradigm shift is? Some of you. I expected you to know, George. That's not surprising at all. A paradigm shift is basically a dramatic change in your life. That's a very simple way to put it. Basically, all of humanity goes through pretty much the same paradigm shifts. Your puberty is an example of it. Maybe getting married, maybe having kids. those are very common examples that of a paradigm shift, this dramatic shift or change in your life where you're no longer this other person, but you're now this new person. And for us, for probably everyone in this room, when we accepted Christ, we went through a paradigm shift. We became this completely new person with that old person being gone. And that's been one of Paul's points of this book, is that as Christians, we cannot be that old person anymore. We cannot live in the world anymore. We should not do it in any single way, because their way is dramatically different than ours. And because their way is dramatically different from ours, that's going to put us on the defensive a lot. And so this is where Paul transitions into the last point of his book, is that as members of the body of Christ, in a lot of ways, we are like soldiers of Christ. In fact, we just sang the song, Soldiers of Christ Arise. I thought that was very appropriate and probably intentional, right, John? That we need to be willing and able to go into battle at any moment. Is battle easy? I love this analogy, especially for this particular body. It's because a lot of you guys are military or have been military, or you have family that is in the military, so you exactly understand what it means to be a soldier. I have this very vivid memory of, I don't know the exact date, but it was about May, April 2003. And it was my very, very last day at Fort Knox. At Fort Knox is where we mobilized out of to go into the theater of Kuwait in Iraq. But the last day, we're supposed to bring all of our stuff to formation that we plan to take on the plane with us. And so here I am, and you guys see this soldier. You see how cumbersome he is? Well, I had a lot more stuff than he did. So I've got my Kevlar helmet, I've got my flak vest, I've got my weapon, I've got the rest of the outfit, I've got two duffel bags of stuff, and I've got a duffel bag that looks probably similar to what he's wearing right now. And I think all in all, everything I was carrying weighed more than 200 pounds. That's a heavy burden, right? Do you know how far I got with that 200 pounds? Down to formation, and I put most of it on the ground. And then I got it back into the bus, and then I never carried it all together at that one point again. But that's just kind of a burden of going into battle, is you have to carry everything you need that is necessary to battle. But there's also another burden of battle, is the burden of the emotional cost of what it means to not just carry those items, but to go into battle itself. Because you know, at some point, you might not make it back. You know, at some point, you're going to have to go on the attack, or you're going to have to go on the offense. A lot of it is just sitting around and waiting for something to happen. I would say 99% of what I did in Iraq was just sit around and wait for something to happen. And of course I did my daily stuff that I was supposed to do, like my job. But there's always that thought in the back of your mind that it constantly weighs you down. Is that easy? Absolutely not. Do you have to be a soldier to understand that? Absolutely not. Because as a Christian, as someone who's preparing to go into the world, maybe not here in America, maybe here in America in the future, I don't know. There are people constantly battling with the thought that they will be killed just because they are a Christian. And that's certainly a thought that they were probably starting to experience by the time Paul wrote these words, this final conclusion of Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but in a way they did. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly place. And so that you're going to have to fight this stuff. And you're going to fight fight it in different ways and in different forms, and you're never really going to know what that looks like. So the idea is that you're constantly prepared for it to happen. Because as a Christian, you need to be strong. What's the alternative? Well, the alternative is you're weak. And so what happens when you're weak? Well, a weak soldier is kind of like a dead soldier. Or a useless soldier. They're not going to accomplish very, very much. Which is why so much money is invested in training soldiers. I had 9 weeks of boot camp, and I had 9 weeks of school, and then I did all that other extra training to prepare to go to Iraq. Do you know how much money they spent to train me, to give me equipment to get me over there? I have no clue, but I know it's probably in the tens of thousands of dollars. Because I only know what they gave me for money. I don't know what they did to invest in me. And that was just one person. It takes a lot of time and effort. You can't just expect it to happen overnight. So you need to constantly be building up on these things so when you're ready for the attack. As a weak Christian, especially one that's not strong in their faith, it's going to fall away. Especially when it comes to temptation. This is what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the sower. There's the one that hears the word quickly and is happy to accept it, but because they have no root, no foundation, they fall away. And what happens to them? Well, they're dead in their sins. Because that's the alternative. A weak Christian also tends to deceive themselves. They tend to believe they're ready, but they don't really do things that get them ready. John kind of talks about this in the context of saying that they have no sin. But there are other ways they lie to themselves as well. And Jesus is quite clear that if you're not where you need to be, He's not going to recognize you when it's time. Or as He says to these people who say, Lord, we did these things in Your name. And He says, but I will still say I did not know You. Because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Because they were not strong Christians. As Christians, we need to be strong. We need to do the things that Paul has talked about in Ephesians. There's places all over the Bible, but I'm just focusing on Ephesians here. You need to walk in love. You need to walk in the light. You need to submit to one another. You need to submit to Christ. And you need to be prepared to go into battle. And this is where we are today. Is you're putting on that full armor. So let's put the armor on. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about the different pieces of armor. I felt like this is a good lesson for little kids. So I really hope the kids are paying attention as they see my son, who looks like he's sleeping. The first thing that we do is we put on the belt of truth. This is the very first thing that Paul mentions. And I looked at the list, and I think this is a good one to list first. Because, you know, a belt holds up your pants. For us, but back then when Paul's looking at what Paul would have understood armor to be, probably that Roman armor, a belt is like the thing that held the armor together. It kept it from flapping around or falling off so that it was effective and did what it needed to do. And I think that's what the truth is for us. It's something that kind of wraps around us and holds us together and provides us our firm foundation. And what is our truth? Well, we know what our truth is. We know that not only do we know what our truth is, we know that we are sanctified in it because it comes from God. And because it comes from God, it's absolute. It's an error. It's never changing. It's always going to be the same. And that is that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the only way to be with Him is to accept Him and be baptized in His name. That's our truth. And that truth is what rescues every single person from Satan. I'm going to say more about this in a second. So put on your belt of truth. And then put on your breastplate of righteousness. Another good piece. You guys know what the breastplate is? It's kind of like it's the most visible part of your armor. It's this huge thing that covers your chest. Or we might say body armor today. It's very big. It's very visible. It's probably the first thing when you look at a soldier you notice. And I love that the breastplate is righteousness because righteousness is what we are known by. people look at Christians and they see who we are, and they should know who we are by what we do, right? Right?
Yes.
That's how the world knows who we are, is what we do. So if they look at us and they see we're not living by righteousness, they're going to believe that we're not righteous. We need to constantly be wearing that armor so the rest of the world can see who we are. Because if we're not wearing that armor, or if we're not doing things that are associated with righteousness, we are essentially putting a, I'm not sure I spelled this word correctly, chink. Chinks, you guys heard this expression, chinks in your armor? It's a flaw in your armor. So every time you sin, you are essentially putting a flaw in your armor. And the world sees that. They know that. So not only put on your breastplate of righteousness, but make sure it's intact. Put on your shoes as the gospel of peace. I love the Psalm 119, 119. The Lord is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I have to imagine when Paul wrote these words, that's exactly what he was thinking about when he said that the shoes are our gospel of peace. Because the Word, God's Word, lights our path. It is what leads us to the battlefield and what protects us while we're in there. And it's the number one reason that we should constantly be reading our Bible every single day. I think every single day I see Alan post a Bible verse. And I was really happy to see that, because I know that shows to me that Alan is doing what he needs to be doing. And not as a Christian, but also as an elder. He's constantly searching the Word. And it's a great example, I think, for all of us on, you know, maybe we don't have time to read a book or a chapter every day, but we can still be studying the Bible every single day. Because what does the Bible teach us? Well, the Bible teaches us salvation. It teaches us truth. And if we're not learning what that truth is, we're essentially putting more chinks in our armor. But also, we're called to be an example to each other and to go and proclaim this word to each other. And so if we're not also studying that, we're not also doing those other commandments that God told us to do. We're not following Christ. So put on your gospel of shoes of gospel of peace. That's kind of a mouthful to say. The next one, I have a little visual here, because a lot of people have this idea of a shield. They think of like a circular thing that's not very big. In fact, there are many different kinds of shields. But I wanted this one here because this is very, very important. It's because this is the typical Roman shield. It's 2 feet wide and 4 feet long. The average height 2,000 years ago was about 5 foot. So this shield basically covered their whole body. That's how effective this shield is. So when Paul tells them to put on their shield of faith, this is the shield he's probably referring to. This tower shield that is going to completely cover your body. Because that's what faith is. It's this idea of something that's so big, it covers every single part of you, that nothing small or like an arrow or a dart can penetrate it. That's what that's what an arrow is designed to do. It's designed to find a weak point. What are your weak points? Well, we all tend to have the exact same weak points. We tend to be prideful. We tend to lust. We tend to have anger, contentment. Some of the things that Paul talked about in chapter 5, drunkenness. I don't know for you guys personally, but I'm sure you're probably thinking of them right now. Those are your spiritual weak points. And those, to get out of those, you need to increase your faith. You need to let faith tower over you like this shield. Are you holding your shield of faith? Can you put it down? No, because that's not how it works. You put the shield down, it's not effective. So put on your shield of faith. And the last defensive piece Paul lists is probably, in my opinion, the most important one. That's just my opinion. You can argue with me there, and you'll probably be wrong. No, I'm just kidding. is to put on your helmet of salvation. This is different from the breastplate of righteousness, because the breastplate is designed to protect the most amount of surface area. But the thing about your body is your body can take a number of hits before it's finally out of commission. Well, unless you just get shot in the heart. But I'm sure you've seen, there are plenty of examples of people that have taken multiple shots or blows to the body and kept going. But the thing about the head is a very vulnerable part of the body. It can only take maybe one or two significant blows before you're finally done. And so when Paul compares the helmet to salvation, I think Paul chose this deliberately because this is, without your salvation, you're nothing. You're dead in your sins. And so for us to put on this helmet of salvation shows how important it is. It kind of washes over all of the body in a way that they probably used anointing back then. Because while your body may die, only God can destroy both body and soul. And here Paul's saying, protect yourself in a way where your soul will not be destroyed. But the other thing about the helmet is you can't take it off. Well, I guess you can. But to take off the helmet is to reject God. So it's not something you can just put on and take off. Many of the gospel writers attest to this, especially the ones in Hebrews, is that if you accept God, you're kind of all in, you're not in at all. So put on your helmet and keep it on, because you can't take it off. And then finally, Paul moves on to the weapons. And I want to say something about the weapons, and she's not in this room, but I hope she can hear me. A while ago, I don't know why I was talking about this subject, but I said I was surprised that prayer wasn't part of the armor. It's mentioned in this sentence, but it's not really, he doesn't assign it a value like he assigns everything else. And Julie sent me a message later. She's like, what are you talking about? It's right there at the very end. And so I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right, but that's not really what I was talking about. But I thought about it a lot since then. And I thought, no, I think he is assigning it a value because he puts it right there with the sword, or the sword of the Word of God. It is a weapon for us. Prayer is a weapon for us. It's very much a defensive weapon. The difference between the sword is why the sword is an offensive and defensive weapon. Prayer for us is only done defensively. The sword is used to practice defense and also to tear down strongholds of false beliefs or disbelief. But prayer puts power exactly where power deserves to be put. It takes it away from us and gives it to God. Because it's all done in God's name. God is our conqueror. He's the one that fights the battle for us. Yes, we go into battle on His behalf, but we do it knowing that He is going to win it. Because we do know He's going to win it, because He's already won it. The battle's over. Satan's defeated. Now we're just fighting over numbers. Be ready. I don't know who you are, I don't know where all you are in your faith. I don't know what's going on in your lives right now. Well, I do know what's going on in a lot of your lives, but there are probably things that you're just not telling me, maybe because you don't want to share whatever the reason is, but I want to really stress how important it is that we wear our armor all the time, because you don't, even if you're great now, I bet you 5 minutes later something is going to happen. Something can always happen. That's why we always wear our armor. But in addition to that, don't neglect your other responsibilities as well. Especially this one right here, proclaiming the gospel. Paul talks about this proclaiming the gospel here is very, very important. Because Satan is going to fight for you, but he's also going to fight for those he already has. And it is our job to go and to help win those on God's behalf. Because God uses us every single day. So don't neglect your duty to proclaim the gospel. But also realize that there are people who are going on the offensive all the time. And as those who, as we submit to one another in love, we also support one another in love. And we need to continue to support those people as well. Especially, we just took up a special collection for the Rogers. as a perfect example of how we continue to support those as well. So keep doing all those single things. All those things, all those single things. That doesn't sound right. Rally behind one another. You guys love each other? I'm not asking if you like each other, because I know there are moments where we don't like each other, but you guys love each other? As brothers and sisters in Christ, you should love each other. If you call yourself a Christian, you should love every single person in this room. Well, there's people in this room I don't even know. As a brother and sister in Christ, I want you to know that I love you. And if there's something I can do to help you, I want to do that. Because we share in that same love, that same faith, the same grace, and the same salvation. That we need to be willing and able to support one another. The battle is won. Christ is victorious. Now we just need to make it to the end. And we're almost there. Almost. Some will come sooner for some than others, but we are almost there. If there's something we can do to help you with that, or if there's something, if you need the prayers of the church, we invite you to come as we sing this song.